Thank you very much. God bless you guys. And for those who haven't heard, my gorgeous wife Carol is away in Newcastle this weekend. My little sister Emily had her fifth baby last week, and we're really happy that she's had the baby. But the baby's been in ICU with breathing difficulties. And so my wife is looking after the other kids, Charlotte, Malachi, Samuel and Ezra. So Carol's very busy this weekend looking after the other kids. They haven't named the fifth child yet, but I'm thinking it might be something like Nebuchadnezzar or, you know, Matthew maybe, yeah. You know, some biblical name. So maybe Gideon, I don't know. Anyway, so they're going to pick another biblical name, I'm sure. But my gorgeous wife sends her love and couldn't be here, but just appreciate that you keep my sister and her family in their prayers. And it's good to see Pastor Dave back here today. Pastor Dave's been diagnosed with diabetes recently. He's had really high blood sugar. He actually collapsed in church last Sunday, had to be taken away in a hospital. But he's fit and healthy, getting better, resurrected, amen? Hallelujah. Bless you, mate. Great to have you with us today. Okay, well, we're really honoured today to invite our guest speaker all the way from India. Reverend Prince Thomas has preached at our soup kitchen before, but we've never had him on a Sunday. He's planted over 300 churches around northern India and has an incredible ministry travelling the world. And he's going to share a bit with us about his ministry and also about how Christ is risen today. And because we like to honour our guest speakers today, would you please stand to your feet and welcome Reverend Prince Thomas. Thank you, sir.
It is now. Yes. Yeah, okay. You may be seated. Praise God. What a blessing to be here. Hallelujah. It's a special day. It's a rising day. And I'm so happy to be here. And thank God for Pastor Matt and for this wonderful opportunity where I could come and share with you what the Lord is doing in my life and in the ministry. And thank God for Merv and his family for bringing me here. And thank you so much. And I'd like to share a little bit of how the Lord spoke to me and directed me to the ministry in North India. I born and brought up in a Christian family in South India, a state called Kerala. And I thought my parents were like very wonderful Christians, and they wanted me to go to a Bible seminary and become a pastor. And I told them, no, I don't have any calling. I'm not interested. So my father was good. He sent me to the college, and I did my engineering in textile technology. So I became an engineer in textile. So I was working in some of the cities in South India, like Bangalore. Then I came to New Delhi, the capital city of India, and I was working. In the year 1994, when I was just working there, I was attending a church like this, a wonderful dynamic pastor like Pastor Matt there, and a wonderful church of like worshiping, praising, wonderful church. The question comes in my heart, what's the purpose of my life? I will live in this world for 60 or 70 years. After that, I will go to heaven. All these 7,000 years from the beginning today, God sent me for a few years in this world. What's the purpose of my life? Is this all my purpose? So I was really worshiping God, praising God. Whenever you were standing, I was standing and pouring my heart with one question. What is the purpose of my life? All of a sudden, my brothers and sisters, all of a sudden, there is a vision, there is a dream, there is a vision. Jesus Christ is standing just in front of me, looking at my face, speaking to a man. He's telling, you are my chosen servant. I have called you to go and preach to those who never heard about me. Plant churches where there is no churches. Will you give your eyes to me so that I can look through your eyes? The needy, the orphans, the widows, will you give your ears to me so that I can speak to you, son? Will you give your hands to me so that I can go and heal people, deliver people? Will you give your feet to me so that I can go to the villages, towns, and the nations? That night, I gave my life to Christ. I told him, God, not only the eyes and ears, until my last breath, I will serve you, Lord. Went to my office and resigned from the job. My friends called me, you are mad. Leaving this profession, going to the missionary work? No, that's not good. I went to my Bible school there, and I finished my Bible school. That was the time God was preparing my life. And after finishing 3 years in the Bible seminary, and I was asking God, Lord, I left everything and I came to you. I want to serve you. Wherever you send me, I will go. It was in the TV. There was a word, Barmana. I never know about this place. I never know about Burma. I never heard about the Burmana. Whenever I pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where should I go? Burmana. Every time, Burmana. I don't know what is this. Who is this fellow, Burmana? I went around, asked my friends, hey, do you know Burmana? He said, no, we never know. We never heard. I went to my Hebrew and Greek teachers because they are the ones who know the typical words like this. They said, no, there is no word Burmana in Hebrew, neither Greek. I was so frustrated. The Lord is speaking to me this, but I don't know what it is. And after that, I met a truck driver who drive a very big truck all over. I asked him, hey, you drive this truck all over. Have you ever come across a place, Burmana? After thinking 1 or 2 minutes, he told me, oh, Burmana, that's a very rural, remote village in Northwest India. I was so happy. At least it's a place name I can go. Do you know what happened to us? I came to the bus stand. I found only one bus go to that village. That's in the night. Told 13 hours, long journey, sit in the bus. With that enthusiasm, I packed my bags, 2 bags. Listen, no organization, no church behind me. I was full of enthusiasm, coming from Bible school, full of enthusiasm. I will go and make them everyone Christian. I came to the bus stand, I got the bus, and in the night, 9 o'clock, I got the bus. All the night, the bus was going on. The next day, about 11 o'clock, the bus stopped in a small village. And the driver told me, this is a place where you are asking. I looked around, it's mountains and valleys, small house. In that bus stand, a broken chair. But I was so excited to see the letters, the style of the letters, Burmana. That was the letter I had seen in my vision. I was so excited. I told, Lord, you are here. As Jacob said, truly I know that you are here. But I don't know what to do next, where to go. Nobody said to welcome me. So I went around and met with the people and I told them, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Is there any church? They told, we don't know what you're talking about. I told them, do you have something like this here? They told, no, we don't know. 11 o'clock, from 11 o'clock to evening 6 o'clock, I was going ups and down. I don't know what to do. At about 6 o'clock, there came an old woman. And she looked at my face and told me, why are you sitting here? From where did you come? She was looking to my face. And I told her my story of how Jesus led me to this place. And I really want to pray for this place. And after hearing my story, she told me, will you come my home? Will you come my house? I took my bags and I went along with her. She led me through a narrow way and took me to her old house. 2 rooms, 1 room in the top, 1 room in the down floor. And very old, poor home. In the top room, there is a photo of an young man hanging in the wall. She told me, this was my son. 2 years before he was killed, I had only one son. When you were sitting in the bus stand, I had seen my son in you. Because my son was exactly like you. Your face, your figure, everything. She continued saying, if you live in this room, if you use this bed, my son's bed, I will look after you. I will cook food for you. But on condition, call me mother. That night, her name is Kamala. Kamala became my mother, and I became her dear son. I made several sermons, but that night I made the practical sermon. Wherever God sent me, before I reach, God will send every provisions for me. Take my first step and go see the miraculous hands of God in my life. My life began to experience great things. And my 2 bags are full of tracts and gospel things. And I went around every house. Do you know, most of all these North Indian villages, they have fanatics. Even today, if on the moment I say anything about Jesus, I'll be slapped. I'll be beaten up. Surely in most of all the North Indian villages where we work. So the first day, good, I went around and distributing tracts, meeting people, second day, third day, fourth day. After a week, when I was coming from that village to my home, on the way, about 20 people, the fanatics, the Hindu, the violent people caught me up and they began to argue with me. Hey, we were searching you. You are Christianizing our village. You are the one who distributing these literatures. Who gave you permission? Who is behind you? Why did you come? and do all this stuff. They began to beat me up, and they broke my hand. And the bones came out, and about 20 people began to kick me up, thrown me there in that street. I think I missed that day, Bible school, where they taught me persecution. I don't know. I was bleeding, full pain, there in the street. Two things happened to me. A divine courage came upon me. You want to beat me. You want to kill me. But I am not going to stop preaching Jesus Christ. I'm not going to leave this place because this place, God sent me here. The peace of the Lord came upon me. My mother, Kamala, came and put me in the hospital. There was a steel rod in my hand for 3 months. The biggest miracle was my mother, Kamala, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that time. And even though she was my mother, my first spiritual little girl. Do you know, after that, I and Kamala, we hold our hands and we began to pray, cry before God for this Burmana. We went around and began to speak people. One side, the persecution is coming up. The people are challenging Kamala to send me alone and just let her go away from there. But Kamala said, I lost my one son, but this is my son. I will not lose him. Whatever you do, you undo. She stood strong with me. We went around, prayed for a little boy whose both kidneys were failed. Doctor said, only 3 months. Kamala went, and we knelt down there. And we cried, Lord, you promised me, you told me, you sent me, will you show? Because all these dark villages, witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, sometimes they sacrifice little children into the idols to gain spiritual powers. Dark villages, we were praying, God, will you come, Jesus, and show that you are God? And the boy was healed, and the parents accepted the Lord. One by one, God began to move. One by one, God began to bring. Through the persecution, church began to grow. And I was so excited to raise people, men and women for the ministry, train them to go out. And after 3 years, we raised about 200 people baptized in that village. And God showed me the state. There's a least evangelized state in India, Haryana, where I'm working. 21 million people. One state in India, least evangelized, Christians 0.09. Not even 1% Christians. 7,000 villages, 5,000 villages never heard about Christ. I went to a village and I asked an old man, hey, have you heard about Jesus Christ? He thought for a minute, he looked at my face and he said, I don't think he lives in my village. I think you should go to that village and ask. Even today, most of all these villages are like that. So that's the top marked state in India. That's Haryana, where God gave me Haryana. Yeah, we'll just go for next. 0.09 Hindus, 0.09 Christians, and all 90% Hindus. 21 million people, 7,064 villages. They speak 4 languages, and I can speak 5 languages. Okay, next. So my target is, my end vision is planting 5,000 villages, village churches in that particular state. So God asked, we'll just go on. Then we, I'm just telling you to encourage you because all of us has a role in ministry. Our target is to start a church and that church should be reproducing, multiplying, disciple-making churches. Our slogan is every believer should be a disciple. Every disciple should be a church planter. Every believer's home, a church, and every church, a Bible training center. Do you know all our churches are in the villages? God has blessed us to start about 300 village churches. All the people, 100% of these people came from Hindu background, and God has done great healings or miracles or deliverance. And this slogan really helped us to see. Do you know, I will tell you later what's the difference between believer and disciple. Okay, let's go further. Yes. Just keep on going. That's individual a little more time, so I'll keep on. You can just keep on rotating the egg. These are all the churches we have planted in northern part of India. Maybe about 10 years before, 15 years before, nothing was there. And the Lord is bringing more people and more people and more people, and the number is growing and growing. Now we have like 120 people, 140 people, maybe 60 people, 80 people. Number is growing. And I tell you, the devil is losing his kingdom and power in North India. The name of Jesus Christ is moving around. No government, no religion, nothing can stop the move of the Holy Spirit of God in North India and all these wonderful dear people. And they pay a price for their faith. They will be beaten up in their village just because we're coming. Their Bible will be burned. They will lose their jobs because they are Christians. They pay a very high price for their faith. And we have 100 methods of evangelism, 100 ways of evangelism. Go to this village, distribute trees and share about Jesus, doing prayer walking, prayer driving, because the eyes, ears, and hearts of the people are closed, binded by the demons. And we say, in Jesus' name, Father, we open the hearts and ears and open the hearts of the people. They will see Jesus Christ. Do you know, this is the best method of evangelism in North India. Most of our villages, we don't have sewerages, no drainage, no drinking water, no electricity. We need to thank God for all the facility here in Brisbane, in Australia. How blessed you people are. But look at these villages, nothing. People, all the latrine, bathroom water just goes down. And they may have a 40-foot hand pump. The water is polluted and they drink that water. They keep that water for 5 days and drink it. Women, children carry water in cans from 4 or 5 kilometers walking all the way. And the earlier picture, that's the condition of our villages. If you come to these villages, this is the normal condition of our villages. This is all the latrine, bathroom water just spread over. So what we do, the big persecution, they don't like Christians. So we go to these villages, we make a well with 400 feet down. And we tell them, we made this well for you. Do you know why? Because of Jesus Christ. Oh, they say, we thought that you people are Christian people, you don't like us, but you are coming and helping us. We made wells in 40 villages, and we started 40 village churches. And that's some of the things that we do. And find out the best methods of, we can just rotate, go on. Methods of going to the slums and blessing these children with education and all this stuff. Yes, just keep on going. Yes. So we pick 150 people from the slums and we are just now educating them because we have caste system. Upper caste, the high caste don't want the lower caste children be educated because they come and try to beat us up because they say, why are you trying to stand against our rules and rituals. If you are educating these poor children, who will work in our field? Who will work in our houses? They cannot be educated. That's a ministry center where we run the church and most of the things, and we go to these villages, distribute Bibles, and yes. And 14 Hindu priests, now missionary with us, and God is moving, and Bibles, this is a boot for the missionaries because broken road. Only one day is open for us. That's a Christmas day. The Hindus will not come and beat us. So we will decorate all the tuk-tuk cars, all the tractors with Bible verses. We will have hundreds and thousands of literature CDs, and we go through. My little small town got 100,000 people. So we go through this town, and we sing on Christmas Day. We worship, we distribute. Last year, in that Christmas, cricket stadium, we have 7,000 people came to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is moving. So this is some of the thing. You can just pray for us, and as a church, you can pray for us and help us to see 5,000 churches started. Yes. So, and I really want you to pray for us so that we can, my heart is for the state, the Haryana, the end division. A big vision of seeing a church, whether it can be 100 people, whether it can be one family, every village should have a church. So join us in that, can partner with us. Yes, next. So that's my family. I have 2 children, 17-year-old Ben and 15-year-old Hannah. We serve the Lord. We all stay there. And we like to have a brochure. It is there in the chair there, so you can hand one. Yes. So this day is a great day. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a resurrection day. If you come to New Delhi, the capital city of India, there is a tomb. There is a tomb. It's the tomb of Mahatma Gandhi. It is written, Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the nation, is sleeping here. Come with me to Saudi Arabia. I was in Middle East for 3 years. And there is a tomb. Muhammad is sleeping here. Most of all the religious, most of all the political, most of all the wonderful great people in this world has a tomb, and in that tomb it is written, he is here, he is sleeping here. But come with me to Jerusalem, I will show you a tomb. It is written, he is not here, he has risen. Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands and praise God? Thank Jesus. Hallelujah. The pastor said, hallelujah, same thing. Hallelujah, he has risen. Hallelujah. So in John, Jesus is rising and he is appearing the disciple. But Jesus is going to the disciples and telling him, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Do you know the resurrection day has a message? The resurrection day has a message of Great Commission. The resurrection day is connected very jointly together with the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the world and make Christians, converts, believers, go to the world and make, I want to really hear from you. Go to the world and make, oh, your sound is very less. If it is in India, they will shout. Go to the world, make, yes, it looks like India. So, disciples, the next passage, next son, in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, after 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will rise up, and we shall live in his sight. This is one of the prophecy has risen up. Let me tell you, we all have 3 days. The first day, the second day, and third day. The first day of the Jesus Christ, I will compact everything of Jesus' life and ministry resurrection in 3 days. The first day of the Lord Jesus Christ is, everyone praise you. Everyone honor you. Everybody is excited because of you. You go through these places and people are healed. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead resurrect. A week before, people sing Hosanna. They are shouting because you are a supernatural. You are so big, everyone praises you. In the life of Joseph, the same thing. Oh, you see dreams and visions. Father loves you. He can make a big rope for you. Hey, David, you have a first day where people love you and people really honor you, sing. Only Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. You are a hero in front of all the people, David. Job, you have everything. Thousands of sheep, donkeys, sons and daughters. Everyone say, we never see a millionaire like Job. The first day of our life, we look good, health is good, bank balance is good, job is good, family is good, everything is good. But remember, a second day is coming. The second day, those who shout at Hosanna will shout, crucify him. Those who stood against you, received healings and miracles from you, they will not stand with you. You thought they will stand with you, the disciples. They all run alone. You are alone. Emptiness, darkness. The second day is dark. It's cruel. Joseph, the second day is so cruel for you. You not do that wrong. But look at that. You are thrown to the dark well. You are sold. You are there in Potiphar's house. You are there in the jail. What's happening to you in the second day? David, everyone said you are a superhero, but what's happening? You are running alone. Nobody is there with you. Where are the people who sang songs? Where are the people who stood with you before? The second day is loneliness. It's cruel. Job, what's happening with you? You lost everything and your own wife come and say, leave him. My brother and sister, the first day is good, but the second day is not good. But if anybody is there in the first day, remember, a second day is coming. So that's what Jesus says, be humble of ourselves. I was in Auckland, New Zealand. Last week, they took me to a house to pray for a software engineer from Sri Lanka. Ranjit came to Auckland, and he was a wonderful software engineer, earning a lot of money. But he was a toughest job in the government, this fellow got. Miracle. And when he was coming, like 3 months before, he got a heart attack. He came to the hospital, and one side is paralyzed. He lost his voice. And after 3 months, he came to home, and they brought me there in that house. When I looked at him, when I shared what the Lord is doing through my life, he is asked me to type in the computer so that he cannot speak. He say only, ba, 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 that's it. He says, I thought all my life will be like this, but I cannot speak. I want to love my children. I lost everything. I really want to speak. If the Lord Jesus gave me this speech, I will quit from my job. I'll go to all the nations and I'll preach Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I tell you, the wealth, the money, the health, the balances, all the thing in this world is temporary. Is temporary. We have today, but we don't have anything tomorrow. The second day is cruel and dark. But don't forget, when you walk through the dark valley, when you go through the dark side of your life, you are not sitting. Psalms 23. You are not sitting. You are not laying. You are walking. You are walking in the dark of the night. You are walking. You are walking towards the light of the day. You have a third day. Don't worry if you are going through. God is speaking. God told me this message in this morning today when I was really meditating for this church. If you are going through the second day, the painful life, loneliness in your life, don't worry. A third day is coming. Hey, Pilate, hey, Herodias, hey, Jewish Pharisees, hey, Sadducees, you thought that you can hold Jesus all the day in the tomb? Oh, you hell. Oh, you Satan. You tried your best to hold Jesus. But when God has a plan for you, but when God has a purpose for your life, no power in this world can hold you. Amen. The third day will come up and you will be raised. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I have a message for New Hope Church. Today I have a message for you, my brother and sister. Your third day is coming. Don't worry about the past. Don't look behind the past. And God, He is going to raise you up in the same place where you have failed. God will raise you up and honor you where you have failed. And here Jesus resurrected. And He is going all over through us, through you and me. Joseph, he gained power. He became the second person in a foreign kingdom. David came back. His third day started in the kingdom. Job regained everything he lost. How many of us believe that my third day is going to start from today, the risen day, the resurrected day? Today, the third day of my life is going to be resurrected. 20 years before, I stopped praying a prayer. God, save me from all this problem. Save me all these challenges and difficulties. Save me. I stopped praying that. 20 years I don't pray that prayer. Do you know what I'm praying? Jesus, give me strength. Give me energy. Amen. Give me a power so that I can face every challenges. Yeah. I'm not going to hiding. I'm not going to run away. No. I'm going to face every challenges in my life. How many times I was in the police station? How many times my Bibles are burned? How many times I faced tough time? Do you know why I faced everything? I know the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables me to face every situation in my life. The third day, He will rise us. This is a message for the, I believe the empty chairs will be filled before the end of this year. I believe there's going to be a breakthrough here in this place. I believe you people are going to be used tremendously in the coming days. My next message is going to, Jesus said, go to Yes, next slide. Go to the world and make disciple. Fulfill the great commission in our lifetime. It is not my generation. It is not the next generation. It is I, my generation. It is you. Your generation can be fulfill the great commission. How to do that? Let's go further and see. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Next page. In that great commission, we have three commissions. Go and make disciples, teach them, and baptize them. Next slide. And in that, the question comes, what's the difference between believers and disciples? This is the place where we transformed our church people. This is the place where we transformed. Do you know the believers? Who are the believers? Through the believers, healing and miracles take place. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Bible says, through those who believe, these things will take place. Believers are the one who comes to church actively involved. But who are the disciples? Jesus said from his mouth, who are the disciples? John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, you are my disciple. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, if you love one another, you are my disciple. Because when Jesus is there in my heart, brother, I cannot hate you. Sister, I cannot hate you. You are my sister. Brother, you are my brother. Jesus' love is there in my heart. When you abide in Christ, when you love one another, John 15:8, Jesus said, when you bring much fruit, you are my disciple. Hallelujah. When you bring much fruit, when you bring much fruit, you are my disciple. Do you know, we teach our believers, all the new Hindu people, 3-minute story. 3 minutes, how your life was before Christ, how you accepted the Lord Jesus, what are the changes took place. They will go to everywhere and share a 3-minute story. If I preach theology, if I preach philosophy, if I preach religion, you can argue with me. But I preach my life, my story, my testimony. You cannot argue with me. This is my life. This is my life. Before I come that Sunday, one dear sister brought 3 people to me and told me, Pastor, I brought these new 3 people. I told her, I'm so excited. Thank you so much. I told her, how did you could bring these people? Oh, she was selling fish to me. I told her 3-minute story. And she was my cab driver, taxi driver. I told my 3-minute story and he's here. And this lady is the wife of Hindu priest in my village. She was sick. I went and told 3-minute story and prayed over her. Now they are here. I'm not going to tell you every day you need to bring someone, but In an year, if we can bring someone along with you to the church, that's a great thing. Lord, for this health, for my family, for everything you have done to me, I will go. You don't need to do anything. Just make relationship with people, make friendship with people, look for an opportunity. When people had everything, they have job, they have everything, they no need God. Look for an opportunity where the life really needs God. Share the God. So great commission, it should not be a choice, but a command to obey. It is the greatest need for the church today is discipleship. It must not be a program, but a lifestyle. I speak great commission. I walk with great commission. I talk and I pray. I engage people with great commission. The next slide. So Barnabas, Paul, if one man is bringing one man to Christ, if as a family, as a member of this church, if we can come, take a commitment, Lord, before December 30. And I will bring someone to Christ. In order to reach all the world, it needs only 37 years. This survey is from Operation Mobilization. If every Christian bring one Christian in an year time, it needs only how many years? 37. Let us go back. The pastor is going and bringing one man, maybe 1 month. It needs 1,500 years. So what do you prefer, New Hope Church? The 1,500 or 37? 37, hallelujah. Let's do that. So, okay, let's go ahead. And the last slide, yes. Okay, so identify your role in Great Commission. My brother and sister, you have a role. It must be as a believer, as a leader, as a church. Personally, strategically, collectively, cooperatively, progressively, innovatively, at last, urgently, great commission is our heart. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the risen Savior. My brother, urgently, there's an emergency. Hallelujah. 6 months before, one of our missionaries went to a village. There, he met a family. The lady was so crying in Haryana. The lady was so crying. He went and asked her, "Why are you crying?" Then she told, "Oh, you know, our family is a Hindu priestly family. The priest of this temple came and told me, you have 3-year-old beautiful daughter, and we need to sacrifice her. And I need to please the gods and goddesses in order to bring rain, in order to blessing upon our village. We want to get repower, the blessings from the gods and goddesses." She told, no, I have only one child. And because of the pressure and because of the all the people come and tell her all these things, and they gave the beautiful 3-year-old child for the sacrifice. That night, yesterday night, that priest came and they sacrificed the little child, and they cremated her there in front of the house. When my missionary went and she was crying, and my missionary was telling 2,000 years before, the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us, and shared all the story. Do you know, after 2 hours, as the missionary was going, this woman looked at the missionary and told him, "If you should have come a day before, I should have saved my little child." The man who is traveling just with us, maybe the man, the woman who's just maybe our neighbor, Holy Spirit is prompting us to share our story. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, as a church, we have a responsibility. It's urgently. It's not the next one. It's not the pastor. It's not the leaders. It's we, I and you. We are part of this great commission. The risen Lord Christ, even today. What is his cry? Hundreds and thousands go to hell. I need someone. I need a brother. I need a sister. I need a father. I need a mother. I need a child who can carry my presence and go. Jesus says, "I am in the spirit. I need someone. Will you give your hands to me so that I can heal? Will you give your feet to me so that I can send you to the nations? Will you can give your ears so that I can speak?" Let's stand in the presence of God. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for this church. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. This is going to be a great day. This is going to be a breakthrough day today here. There's going to be a healing day today here. There's going to be an amazing day of a beginning. There's going to be a resurrection day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You had gone through very dark life in your life. Hallelujah. It was painful. It was loneliness. But your third day starts from here. This is a prophetical word. My brother and sister, take this word and go from here free. Jesus Christ is sending you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For how many people will respond for the Great Commission today? Especially for the Great Commission. I really want to do something for the Lord. I really want to lead someone to Christ. I really want to lead someone to church. Oh, I am committing my life today. Lord, before end of this year, I will lead someone to Christ. Hallelujah. My family is committing. Yes. Humble yourself and give to God, and he can use you. Father, as I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, let the Holy Spirit of God touch them right now. Let the unseen presence of the Lord, yes, let the unseen presence of the Lord touch. If anybody there sick, weak in their body, in Jesus' name, right now, let there be healing. Let there be healing right now in this place. In Jesus' name. Father, as I pray, let there be breakthroughs, deliverance. Let there be the risen power. Hallelujah. The power of the risen Christ upon their lives, Father. I pray from today, the church is going to be full in Jesus' name. Hundreds and hundreds will come here and hear the name of Jesus. To the north, to the west, to the east, to the south. We proclaim, we prophesy. Send people to worship. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, we give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen. Big, big hand for Reverend Prince. We're just going to do 3 things before we close the service. Firstly, I want to ask if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus today. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Reverend Prince and the amazing testimony where you led him 13 hours to a remote village and you sent him to go and start planting churches. Now over 300 villages have churches because of this ministry that you've launched him into. Supernaturally, Lord, you've sent him out. Lord, what a great example of the miraculous. Couldn't be done without the power of God, without the Holy Spirit leading him. What a great example of a man who was living his life for himself. But when you visited him in church one Sunday and you spoke to him and said, I'm going to give you a calling, I'm going to give you a purpose, and now you've used him to do great things. Instead of living for himself, he started to live for you. What a great witness, what a great example. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to say, yep, today I'm going to stop living a selfish life. I'm going to stop living with my own agenda. I'm going to start living for God. I'm going to turn from my sinful ways. And I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If today, on Easter Sunday, 2018, you want to say, I want to turn from my sinful ways. I want to give my life to Christ. I can pray a prayer with you today. And you can start that journey to follow Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to put your hand up high and I'll pray with you today. Good on you, brother. I see that over there. Over here, I see that. That's great. There's two people. Is there anybody else that wants to say, yep, I want to give my life to Jesus today? You want to get your life right with Jesus? Anybody else?